Well, good morning. I appreciate everyone staying in their seats now that you know who is speaking this morning. So thanks for coming. Cold morning and tough to get out of bed. The cyclones made it easier for me to get up and going this morning after a good game yesterday. So excited about that and excited about the end of a year and the start of a new year. Before I start, why don't we just spend a little bit of time just praying for some people in our church who are going through some difficult times. Junis DeGroot is having some health problems, so if you can remember Junis and her family, that would be appreciated. Tim McGuire, Wendell Eildertz, and Trayton Craig, who's a member of our worship team this morning. Not sure if you're aware of, but he was working at a school up in Minnesota, and that college suddenly closed. So Trayton would appreciate a prayer for some job opportunities here in the near future. So let's just close our eyes and pray before I share. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for your provisions over 2017. And as we look to the new year with anticipation and maybe some anxiousness, as there's maybe things that are challenges for the coming year, but also opportunities, pray that you would just continue to walk with us as you have in the past year. We think of Junis, and we think of Wendell. Think of Tim McGuire, their families. Just comfort them. Pray that you give them peace, give them strength. By your great hand of healing, pray that you would touch their bodies and heal them as they need that. Pray for Trayton and his questions about jobs in the future, and just pray that you would meet his needs and provide an opportunity for him. And just thank you for this time. Just speak through me, open our minds, open our hearts, and just pray that your words would be mine and that you would teach us and grow us this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, a friend of mine some time ago had said that everybody should give a sermon at some point in their life. And as far as I know, this is at least my second time, so that means that somebody is missing out on an opportunity this morning. But I'm excited in that God has given me many thoughts over the past several years, and this morning I want to share some of those thoughts with you in what I have titled Living in the Light. Light and darkness is kind of the theme for what I want to share this morning, and as we think about those two aspects of our world, you can't have one without the other. There's many examples of light and darkness throughout life. We can think of old movies or shows like Lone Ranger, and Lone Ranger in my mind was always white, and I'm not sure who his adversary was, but the other guy was black, I'm sure. Even today we have Star Wars, and Star Wars is, we have the good versus evil, Darth Vader. I'm not a Star Wars expert, my family will attest to, but I do know, what is it, Luke Skywalker and Han Solo are usually white, and Darth Vader is not. He's evil and black. And so you can't have one without the other. And there's always this ongoing struggle in our world and each of our personal lives of good versus evil. So 1 John 1, verses 5 through 9 is where we're going to be. So if you did bring your Bible, if you want to open to 1 John chapter 1, that would be a good place to be. Before I get there, though, I want to talk about just a background that's part of my life, and we have a video I'm going to share here shortly, but Dave, when he presented the opportunity to us, as someone want to speak for Dave, or Pastor Dave, as he has gone this week, he said, just share, you know, what's on your heart, share from personal experiences, and just talk to you, and that's what I want to do today. But a big part of my life has been the sport of wrestling. And there's a video here that kind of shows the struggle that will lead into some things I want to share with you this morning. So, Sue, if you want to cue up the video and hopefully get the blood flowing this morning. Ew. Thank you. Okay, hopefully that gets some energy going in the building. It does with me. I know that's a very emotional sport, and as you can tell, there's a lot of struggle in the sport of wrestling. And for myself, it's taught me a lot of lessons throughout my life, and continues to just challenge me and our family as my son is continuing this great sport, and something that I think related to our spiritual struggles that we deal with regularly, there's some parallels in that. So this morning, I just want to talk about that there's challenges in everybody's life. Before I get into that, I got to just point out the Iowa State wrestler. He's actually just from down the road in Waterloo. He was here last year to do a clinic here in Hampton. Great individual. Kyvan Gatson is his name. Lost his father as he was growing up. But funny thing about that video is he was a national champion. That is the finals of the 2016 national tournament. And on ESPN Sports Television, nationally televised. And so they get him after his match, after becoming the number one wrestler in America, after winning, and said, you know, how do you feel? What are your thoughts right now? And his reply at that time is, all I want is ice cream. So that was it. He won a national champion, and he said, all I want is ice cream. So if you know anything about wrestling, a lot of times you can't eat a whole lot during wrestling because you have to lose weight and make weight. And so his comment was, all I want is ice cream. So that was just kind of a humorous thing that actually went viral on the internet and was pretty popular there. Anyway, so this morning, just want to talk about the idea of living in the light according to God's word and these verses in 1 John chapter 1. Last year, we had challenges, we had good things happen, we also had some things that were struggles. In my past month, I reflected on this and that, what has happened in the past month? Well, and work-wise, I had an office assistant that decided to take another opportunity, so I'm without a staff person right now just to help me in the day-to-day activities of my work, and that's a very difficult situation. I have car problems, which I'm sure half of us in this room probably have car problems as we're sitting here today. Cars are an ongoing thing. They're expensive and they are no fun. I haven't had a regular phone service in my office. I changed carriers in my phone service, and of course in the change from the old carrier to the new carrier, my phones don't work. And so there was about 2 or 3 days, and if you're in an office situation and imagine a somewhat busy office not to have a phone, that's a tough situation. Do have my phones today, but I don't have a fax machine, so I can't fax anything, and that's frustrating. I have a wedding this Saturday, which is a joy and a blessing, but also an expensive joy and blessing. And so I have financial challenges that I'm having. So I'm dealing with all these things and spending time in God's Word. And a verse that came up as I was reading is, and I should have this marked, but I am, of course, not organized like Pastor Dave is. But chapter 14 of John, verse 1, was what I read the next morning after all these things I'm dealing with and just a little bit stressed, you might say. Verse of the day I read in the morning, it said, don't let your hearts be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me. And so, to me, things like that aren't just accidents. That's a miracle in my mind that God spoke to me that day, don't be troubled, you know, trust in me, God's in control. And yeah, there's challenges that I was dealing with, I'm still dealing with, and we all have those, but don't be troubled, trust in the Lord. So that was encouraging, and as we look at 2018, it's going to happen. You know, we're going to have some of the same challenges. So question is, I guess I wrote down, how we compete? You know, like these wrestlers out here, they got challenges every time they step on that mat. The guy on the other side, he wants to do the same thing to him that he wants to do to him. He wants to put him on his back, and that's a scary thought when you're one-on-one with a person and in a physical challenge like they are every day. So as you look in 1 John chapter 1, the first verse is verse 5. Verse 5 says, this is the message we've heard from Jesus, now declare to you. God is light, there is no darkness in him at all. So just the idea that God is light, okay? God is pure, he is perfect, he's 100% holy. That is something we can rest on 100% for sure, that God is pure and he demands holiness. To be in his presence, we need to be like God, which is someone without sin and 100% pure. So that's verse 5. As we think about our lives, we often don't live in a state of purity. We're not holy 100% because we're sinners, and we continue to have Satan work on us just as we want to do what's right, but that's a constant struggle. So a goal for myself, and hopefully a goal for all of us, is that we need to recognize our sin, because to have fellowship with God, we cannot be living in sin. If, again, it's Darth Vader and Han Solo, Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker, those guys don't sit in the same room and have coffee and donuts together. You know, they're going to be in conflict. Darth doesn't want to be with Luke, and Luke doesn't want to be with Darth, or you pick your good guy and bad guy. The two don't go together. You don't want to be together. Same thing with sin and God. It doesn't go together. God's perfectly holy, 100% pure, and we're not. And if we're living in sin, God, it's tough to have any communication or fellowship with God. Let's move on. Verse 6 goes on to say, so we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. So from this verse, I guess it's kind of talking about how are we living. That word fellowship is a relationship. If to have fellowship with some person or something, there's some sort of communication that's going on there with that other person. So the idea here is fellowship with God. How do you, in your daily life, fellowship with God? Is there fellowship? And if we're having fellowship, how effective is it? And for myself, there's three areas of my life that are part of that fellowship. First would be worship, which that is today. We're doing corporate worship, but it also can be individual. Bible study and prayer. Those are ways that you have fellowship with God. And in order for that to be effective, we have to examine our own hearts and our own lives and see what darkness is inside of me. Is there things that are keeping me from having effective fellowship with God? And I guess the idea of, if we go on living in spiritual darkness, we're not practicing the truth. Well, again, it's just the idea that we can't have both. And it's obviously a tall task and an impossible task because we're humans, but that should be our goal, is to have light living or light-like living. We want to live in the light. We don't want to be continuing in sinful or dark sinful patterns. Verse 7 goes on to talk a little bit more about fellowship. Verse 7 says, if we're living in the light as God's in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I guess this scripture reference came from some drive time that I often have in my job. I travel quite a bit, and trying to listen to positive things on the radio as much as possible, unless I need some music like the video had and things to get me ready for the day or fired up for the day. But a lot of it is just things that are encouraging, and Christian radio has some good messages in there. And the speaker on Christian radio that day was talking about just fellowship with each other. And what struck me was just the idea of, do we want to be with each other? Do we want to be with fellow Christians? And if we don't, why? I've had what I'd consider Christian friends in the past talk to me or make the comment that they don't think church is really important, that I can be a Christian being at my home. I would agree. I don't think there's anything in God's word that says if you're not in the church, 50 out of 52 weeks of the year, that if you pass away, you might not be with him for eternity. So I don't think it's necessary for salvation to be here, but the idea is if we want to do what the Lord's telling us in these verses and follow his word, fellowship with one another should be a desire, should be something that to stay home doesn't feel good. To be here is what I believe we're commanded. And to me, it goes back to that light and darkness battle that's depicted through good and evil throughout our world and in the movies and videos like we had, and that if we're not honoring God with our life and living in a sinful pattern, it's hard to come to a place like this. And because a lot of times sin is exposed and we're made aware of how messed up we are in a place like church. But hopefully we want to have patterns of living that are honoring to God, and that we're not ashamed to be in a church setting, and that we can encourage and fellowship with other Christians. So I guess, again, the challenge to me and to us is if I don't want to spend time reading my Bible, if I don't want to pray, if I don't want to come to church, what other issues are going on in my heart that are keeping me from doing those things? And so I think as we look to the next year, that's a challenge for me and a challenge for all of us is, you know, are we honoring him with our pattern of living that is wanting us to open our Bible and read it, to pray, to come to church and be with other Christians who think like I think, and, you know, where's my heart, I guess, with that? All right, so that's verse 7. Verse 8, if we look at verse 8, it says, if we claim we have no sin, we're fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So, again, I believe the devil is a, there's a verse in Revelation, talks he's the prince of the airwaves. I think the devil works through a lot of non-physical means in our world. Part of it's through our head. You know, in our head, we get thoughts and ideas that are not honoring to God. Today, besides our brain, we have ears that hear things on the radio, hear things on TV. We watch things in movie theaters and watch things on TV. We have things on our computer that are not always God-honoring. I think Satan uses all those things to deceive us. And there's part of us that sometimes think, I'm pretty good. The first part of this verse says, we claim we have no sin. Well, it goes on to say, we're fooling ourselves. That's a lie. I mean, we're all sinners. We all have problems that we struggle with every day. And if we think we're pretty good and we're okay, well, I'd say we're lying or being deceived. And so just the challenge to say, okay, we are good. I haven't seen anyone's name in the paper that's sitting here as far as I know. I mean, in a negative way, as far as criminal record, the police log in the Hampton Chronicle, or on the radio. I haven't heard stories that way, God willing, so we won't hear them. So yeah, we're generally good. I haven't been in jail, haven't been prosecuted for too many bad things in my life, and so I'm a good person. But I still got problems, and I still got sin. I think things I shouldn't be thinking. I say things to my family and others that are inappropriate at times, and so I'm a sinner. So I don't want to be caught in that lie that I'm good because I have sin. All right, and I guess related to that, I'll use State Farm and Aaron Rodgers as just a reminder for us that do a double check on that and our sin. Do the sin double check, you know, like Aaron Rodgers is telling us to do an insurance double check on their State Farm coverage. That's where you go. have we done a double check on our sin? It's not only the outward public sins, but then the sin beneath our sins. And to illustrate that, whoops, there goes my notes. there's a picture that comes from a study that I'm doing with a small group right now. Sue, if you want to put that picture on here, it's a terrible picture, I'll admit. But this picture is from a book that we're studying, and it's titled The Gospel-Centered Life. And the straight line on the left is time. And so that's our life. And our life has happened. We're at this point in our life to today. Somewhere in that life, most of us, I think, have probably come to the realization that we can't save ourselves from our sin. And we have what's called a conversion experience. We, at some point, have confessed that we need a Savior and that Jesus is the only way or only person who can pay that penalty for me. So for me, that was at about 14 or 15 years old. I was a teenager, raised in a Christian home by Christian parents, and but came to the point at a camp in the summer. It was actually a sports camp, but a Christian sports camp. They talked about, if you die tonight, where would you be? And that question challenged me. It was something that I had make a personal decision. It wasn't my parents' faith. It wasn't my grandparents' faith. It was me. And so I believed at that point that Christ needs to pay the penalty for my sin. So I accepted Christ as my Savior. So from that time, I've moved on. And where the two lines split, one's going up and the other's going down, there's a growing awareness of God's holiness. And so that's the top line, is that we realize that we're not God. Okay, I'm not God, even though I think I'm good some days. I'm not perfect, I'm not pure, I'm not without sin. And so that's the top line. The bottom line is an awareness of my sin, or my flesh, and my tendency to not do what God wants. And that's where the cross comes in the middle. So the cross, and I think it's great that our church has a cross, being a Christian church that we are, but that's obviously a focal point and a central focus of our church, but also in this diagram, the cross is what Christ has done. He paid the sacrifice for us, and as I realize more and more how utterly broken that I am, that's the bottom line, and realize how great God is and how perfect he is, and I'm not perfect, that's where the gospel becomes more relevant to my life, and that it's not just because I became Christian at 14 years old, then now I'm good. It's throughout my life I got to reflect on Christ paid the penalty. He is pure. He's 100% without sin. I'm not. I never will be. And so the gospel or the cross continues to be an effect in my life today. So that's just when we hear the word gospel, that's what the gospel is. The gospel doesn't, it's not a one-time thing. The gospel can carry us throughout our life, and we should continue every day, reflect on, Lord, I need you. I'm broken, I'm a sinner, and I'm a mess up today like I did yesterday. And only because of your holiness am I able to have a relationship with you and to continue in that throughout my life. So that's kind of the focus of that, and that's, something to dwell on every day. All right, let's see. Well, there is some good news after pummeling us a little bit like a wrestler here through these negative things about how sinful I am. I guess we have good news in verse 9. Verse 9 is a great verse to commit to memory, but it goes like this. It says, if we confess our sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So Christ is our shining knight in white armor. You know, he's the Savior. He's the good news. He, as these verses say, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. But before that comes the act of confession. And I've been in many classes in the past where we talk about forgiveness, and we all know we're supposed to ask for forgiveness for our sins. And I don't know how many of you have ever thought, why do we need to do that? I mean, God knows we sin. He promises to forgive us. Does God need to hear our request? I don't believe so. I think it's more for me that I need to confess my sins. I mean, if we go through life, never admit our sins, why do we need Jesus? We don't. We're good. We don't acknowledge that we're sinners. And so the act of confessing our sins, I believe, is more for myself and for us than it is for God. God knows we sin. He promises to forgive us. He's going to forgive us whether we ask for it or not, I believe. So he doesn't need to hear us. It's more for me that I recognize, yeah, I messed up yesterday, and I'll probably mess up today, and what am I doing, and why am I doing this, and do I like the way I'm living, and am I going to continue doing that, or am I going to try and change and be more like God? So, yeah, the good news is he's going to forgive us, and the idea is to cleanse us from all wickedness. And that verse, wicked, to me, that says something to me. So in verse 9, the last word is cleanse us from all wickedness. I don't know, would any of us go around the room and say, you're wicked, you're more wicked than me? And probably not. That's a pretty harsh word. But that's what God's word says. We're wicked. And so, again, it's kind of a slap in the face or mine that I'm a wicked person. You know, and you probably, hopefully, didn't think of that as you walked in here. Oh, there's that wicked person going to give the sermon this morning. But that's what it says. You know, we got wickedness in our body and on who we are. We're not pure. So good news is, though, he can 100% make me pure, and he has, because of what Christ did for me on the cross. All right, kind of wrap things up here. If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 91, there's a little encouraging verse in chapter 91 of Psalm, and it's the first verse of chapter 91 in Psalm. But that verse goes like this. It says, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." So two key words there. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So the word live and rest. Just think about live. Okay, we all live in a home or an apartment or wherever you live. We have a place to go after this meeting today. We don't live here. We live in a home. So when you live, you reside there, you sleep there, you eat there, you do your daily activities where you live. And that, in relation to our Christian life, we want to focus on, you know, I like the word abide. To abide, I think, is just, I think of being in physical presence of that person. So in this situation, it's talking about the shelter of the Most High. So living in his shelter. So God has a protection over us, and the Most High, obviously, is the Lord himself. So just the same way we live in our house, live in our apartment, live in a condominium, wherever you live, live with the Lord, you know, and read his teachings, you know, learn from what he's given us through his word. Spend time talking to him. Yeah, I personally haven't heard an audible voice from God, but he has spoken to me through my thoughts. He's spoken to me, like, through this verse I shared with you earlier. That wasn't an accident that I opened up that verse the next morning when I was going through some difficult times in work and life and whatnot, that he said, "Don't be troubled. I'm in control." And that's him talking to me because I desire to talk to him, and he responded. So that was great. So in the second part of the verse says, if we live there, then he's going to give us rest. And rest is a good thing. When I think of rest, I think of vacation. A month ago, our family agreed to take me on vacation. And so we went to Florida, and it was vacation for them. For me, it was Harry Potter and Disney, and I don't know if that was vacation or not, but it was vacation for them, so that was rest, and it did get me to get away from the daily grind of life, and so it was restful in that sense, and for them, it was a great retreat from, you know, what they're dealing with in their school and studies and other things that teenagers and young adults have to deal with. So that's what God will give us. He'll give us vacation. And vacation can be 365 days a year for the rest of our life if we're living with him. So it doesn't happen if we don't live with him. If we don't live with him, we're in the world. We're in a difficult, painful situation, which is what the world is. But he says, live with me, live in his shelter, and we'll have rest, we'll have vacation, you know, according to his plan. So that's kind of my encouragement today is, I appreciate the opportunity. I think God has given me these things to share with you. Hopefully it's an encouragement to you as you reflect on the past year and look to 2018. 2018 is going to be a great year if we're living with Him, and we just need to continue to make that a daily goal of what we do and how we act and think and say things. So let's do that in 2018 and have a great year with that. I think we have a closing song, so if the worship team wants to come up, we'll do that. And I'll close in prayer. So let's bow your heads and I'll pray.